All right, guys, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The Gospel of John. So it's Easter, and we are here to celebrate even though we don't have power. But that doesn't really matter, does it? We can celebrate the reality of Jesus Christ, whether we have overhead lights or not. We can celebrate His sacrifice and His resurrection on this day. Now, when you talk about Easter, it can get to the place where we talk about it so much, of course we remember it each year, there is a sense in which it kind of grows, I hate to say it, kind of goes old in our minds, because we know the story, we live the story every day in our salvation, we're told, reminded continually throughout the year about what Jesus did for us. And there's some sense in which, yeah, I know that, George, but isn't there something more? Well, I want to talk about that today because it's interesting. When you read the Gospels, there are some interesting things that happen when the disciples see the risen Jesus. And one of the most interesting things that I kind of caught on to as I was reading the passages was they were troubled. Troubled. You thought they would be excited. No, they were excited. But in the midst of them, they couldn't, it was almost too good to be true. They almost they questioned whether could this be real. You ever had something happen like that in your life where it's like everything you hope for happened and then you're like, I'm really not sure. Did this really happen? They were troubled by Jesus. And I want to talk about today. I want to talk about being troubled by Easter. He said, it sounds kind of negative, George. Well, maybe it starts off that way, but it doesn't go there, okay? So I want you to notice with me. First thing I want to talk about is, when we talk about Easter, I want to talk about the reaction to the news. So we're here celebrating, but not everybody out there is celebrating, right? For some folks, it's Easter eggs and Walmart sale the next day for half-price chocolates, right? What I want you to see is that there's a reaction to them. Here's the first one. The concept of the resurrection is crazy to most people. Think about what we're talking about. Here's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating that a man, Jesus, was brutalized, hung on a cross, died there, buried, and on the third day rose again. And that he's alive and that he was seen by over 500 people at one time. That he was seen by the 11 and the others, even by James, his brother. That they interacted with him. And the reality is that most people would look at you and say, do you really believe that? I've had people tell me that. I've had one person tell me years ago, right here in our own community, say to me, you mean to tell me you believe that somebody had to be tortured and die on a cross and rise again so that you could have the forgiveness of your sins and have eternal life? And I said, yes, I believe that. He said, you're nuts. In fact, that's what the Apostle Paul says. What I just described to you just happening here in the last decade or so, this is what Paul says. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. He says, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So the fact of the matter is when most people consider Easter, I'm just going to tell you, most people, they think it's nuts. We say, well, I don't think it's nuts. How would I react? Well, this is where I came up with, okay? So I want you to notice with me, we're going to look at a couple passages here. I want you to hear how the disciples are, and then I want you to hear my point. Matthew chapter 28, verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Whoa, wait a minute now. Okay, so if you're in the room and you're meeting with Jesus and you're excited and they worship, but then even while you're in the room and you're seeing him, How is it, we're talking about the disciples here, how is it they could come to the place of doubting? I think it's interesting that our Gospels even tell us that. Here's the other passage I want you to see. Luke chapter 24, verses 38 to 43. And he said to them, this is speaking of Jesus, why are you troubled? All right, so let's stop. So Jesus recognizes they're doubting. Did you hear me? Jesus recognizes. So why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for the spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. Then when he said this, he showed him his hands and his feet. And while they still, catch what the scripture says. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it and ate before them. So when we talk about the resurrection, maybe you're here and you're like, yeah, I believe, George, but I just have doubts sometimes. Listen, here's my point I want you to see. Even his disciples who interacted with the risen Jesus. Okay, so listen, the text is telling you they see him, they handle him, they can see the scars on his body. They watch him eat, and they're still what? Not sure. Can we really believe this? Okay, so even his disciples who interacted with the risen Jesus were troubled. What am I trying to say here? Here's what I want you to understand. When we talk about coming in here to celebrate, you might be here today, or maybe it's not even today. Maybe it's a week from now, or maybe it was a month ago. Something was happening in your heart, and you really believed, yes, Jesus, I believe you are alive. I believe you can do this for me. But yet in your mind, you are questioning. But, well, maybe this isn't real. Maybe you have doubts for whatever reason. You understand what I'm talking about. We all have them at some point, right? You maybe need to recognize that. We all have them at some point, right? Doubts are natural. Doubts are real. Now, that doesn't mean you're an unbeliever. That just means you're human. Because here we are, we have the text telling us, they're right there, they see him. And they're troubled. Wrestling with doubts. So let's talk about that. We're going to talk about a couple of things here from John's gospel. I'm going to bring up a guy that we all know, Thomas. He's called Doubting Thomas. I think that's kind of a negative term for him. I would say human Thomas, because what Thomas is wrestling with is we all wrestle with it. We all wrestle with doubts sometimes. But I want you to see, in the midst of the doubt, okay, here's the wonderful thing. When we talk about Easter and the resurrection, I'm going to show you the heart of God. I'm going to show you the heart of God towards you and towards me. I'm going to show you his care. So let's look with me. If you have your Bibles, let's start with verse 24. Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas answered him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Now I'm going to take this section of scripture and I'm going to divide it into three sections. We're going to look at several things here. First thing I want to talk about is the struggle with doubt. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, okay? Sometimes we get the impression in church that we're to have no doubts whatsoever. Sometimes we get the impression that you're supposed to believe perfectly, and if you don't believe perfectly, then there's a problem with you. I'm about to tell you, if we haven't already seen it with the passages that we see, is that doubts are natural. Doubts are a part of our life. The question is, what do you do with the doubt? Where does the doubt lead you? That's what we're going to talk about here. We're going to talk about natural doubts that people have, but in the midst of it, I'm going to tell you about the God who understands, who doesn't just understand, but cares. So let's talk about, first of all, the whole issue of the struggle with doubt. First of all, here's the thing. When you read verses 24 to 25, I really can't condemn Thomas. Because I want you to think about Thomas's situation. Before the death of Jesus, had he ever seen? Well, of course, Jesus raised some people from the dead. But that was like immediately, a lot of times immediately, except for Lazarus, immediately after they died. But that was Jesus who did that, okay? That was Jesus. When you talk about someone who has been tortured, brutalized, buried, and now he's on his own back, that's just, can I say it? Wild. The whole concept of that just seems, think about it for a moment. That just blows your mind. No, that could never happen. And so here's Thomas. He gets with the disciple. Oh, the Lord's alive. We saw him. We don't. And he's like, really? Come on, guys. I know you're grieving, but that's a little bit too much. So here's what I want you to see. Here's what's going on with Thomas. The story is too sensational to realistically believe. The story's too sensational to realistically believe. That's what's going on. That's why he's saying, unless I see him, unless I touch the print in his hands, unless I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe just simply because you told me this? Come on, I don't believe that. We understand that, right? We understand that completely. So that's doubt. And you and I, we get to the same place sometimes. Especially like when we're in the midst of a crisis or something and somebody says, just believe, God will take care of it. And you want to believe, but there's still part of you that says, yeah, I'll wait and see. Because you're not sure. You want to believe, but you also want to be realistic. That's where Thomas is. That's the struggle he has with doubt. Here's the other thing I want you to see here. There is a need to experience the reality of Jesus to believe. There's a need to experience the reality to believe. Meaning what? So Thomas is saying, that's too sensitive. I've got to experience it myself. Unless I see it, it isn't real. That, again, is a human tendency. That's where most of us are at. Unless I see God do that myself, I'm not going to believe. And that's where Thomas is at. That's where Thomas is struggling. And to be honest with you, every one of us here at some point in our life have been where he's at. When we're dealing with the concept of Jesus being alive and God being alive and loving you, especially when you're in the midst of it, and you have people who come along and they give you promises and tell you, just hang on, Jesus will do it. And you're like, yeah, you want to, but on the inside, you're like, oh yeah, unless I really see it myself, I don't know that I can believe. But the problem is we won't say that out loud, will we? Because we're afraid. Folks, you're human. Now, thankfully, can I be honest with you, the text doesn't end there. The text doesn't end there because, can I be honest with you, just so everybody, here it is. Can I tell you? When you struggle with doubts, God's not shocked by it. You may want to write that one down. When you struggle with doubts about who He is and what He can do and what He can accomplish in your life, He's not shocked by it. In fact, He understands you and I far better than anyone. He's had all of humanity to watch. He created them, right? It's not like we're doing something different than anybody else has through the centuries. It's not like our struggles are brand new compared to anyone else's. So when you and I wrestle with doubts, it's not a surprise. He's not sitting in heaven on the throne saying, oh my goodness, do you believe that? George, he's struggling with doubts. God knows us. I think He's more realistic than we are about ourselves. But being realistic, He also cares. And that's what I want you to see here is Jesus' care. Okay? So let's take a look again at the passage. We're going to focus on verses 26 to 29. Because here it is, 8 days later. 8 days later, 8 days after Thomas says, unless I see it myself, I'm not going to believe. 8 days later, the passage says, look at verse 26. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. I think that would be realistic, right? Jesus shows up. Let's say everything was locked here. All the doors are locked. We're afraid because we're afraid somebody's going to come get us from outside. Jesus shows up in the middle. First thing out of his mouth is, peace be with you. Can I give you the English translation? Don't freak out. Don't freak out. Peace be with you. And then this is the next thing he says. This tells me the heart of God. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. So tell me, what was he thinking about when he walked into that room? Who was he thinking about? Thomas, who was doubting. He cared so much to think about Thomas. Do you know what I'm saying? It was with any of us, we would be like, I ain't got time for him. He doesn't even believe me. No, he cares. So here's the point I want you to see. Jesus personally reaches out to the one with doubts. He personally reaches out. I can tell you in my own life, in my own experience, there have been times when I've wrestled in prayer about something and I needed God to do something. I needed Him to show up in a mighty way. Or I'm in the midst of something and I'm just trying to make sense of it. And then there's these natural doubts that arise in my mind. And so I go to Him. And even when I go and talk to Him with these doubts that I have, and I even voice them to Him, Lord, I'm just really struggling. I don't know what to do here. I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing like having peace in the midst of the turmoil that only comes from Him. It's a peace that Paul describes in Philippians, a peace that surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's nothing like that peace. It doesn't tell you what the outcome is going to be. It doesn't tell you, I've got this, I'm handling it, this is what's going to happen. It's just simply saying to you, I'm here. I'm with you. I'm with you. He cares that much. See, I find it interesting. We all wrestle with doubts. We all wrestle with whether or not he can do it. And we have labels for it. We call it lack of faith or unbelief or whatever. The fact is, you are human and your struggles are normal. And so here it is. You're going through it and you're like, does he care? I'm telling you, he cares. You just need to go talk to him about it. Tell him what's bothering you. Tell him what's on your mind. Tell him the fears. Tell him the loneliness. Tell him the hurt. Tell him the doubts. He understands. It just blows my mind. The risen Jesus, who does he care for? It's not like it's my agenda. I'm focused on my agenda. No, no. He's thinking about people and where they're at. That's what's so wonderful about Easter, isn't it? It's about you. I thought it was about Jesus rising from the grave. It is. But it's about you that he did it. Here's the other thing I want you to see about Jesus' care. I want you to notice with me. The issue is not responding to your experience, but your faith in Jesus. What do you mean, George? Well, look with me. Look with me at verse 28 and 29. Because here's how Thomas responds. When he reaches out and he says, yes, it's him. Here, verse 28, Thomas answered him and said, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. See, the issue isn't our experience. It isn't, quote, the peace I feel sometimes when I'm in prayer. That it's, you know what it is? It's ultimately what he's wanting is, do I have faith to trust him? To believe he is who he is, that he rose from the grave, that he has given me forgiveness. Even when life is crumbling around me, and sometimes it does, folks. Do you have faith? It's easy to be able to touch him. That's what Jesus is saying here. But do you still trust him when you're not sure? And you're just holding on. That's what he wants you and I to grasp here. So then what follows with that is just a statement from the writer, John, in verse 30 and 31, that talks about the reality of Jesus. This is the reality. This is what we celebrate because he's alive. Look with me, verse 30. Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Two things I want you to see, because here is it. We all wrestle with doubts. But he cares for you, but he's also given you something. Here it is, two things. Number one, the testimony of Easter and all that Jesus did is available to all. We read some passages today. We read from Matthew 28 about Mary Magdalene and the other Mary coming to the grave and what they witnessed and seeing the empty tomb and going back and telling others. We read about the disciples who interacted, and even though they had doubts, they were filled with joy. We hear from each other about how God answers our prayers in our lives and the work that he does in others' lives and the healings that he brings sometimes and the impossible prayers that he answers. We read about it in the scripture. We hear it from each other. What I'm trying to tell you is that is the issue. Everything has been provided for us so that we can have what? Faith. Can I tell you something? People sometimes they wonder, why do you need to go to church? Can I tell you one of the reasons why you need to go to church? We don't talk about it very much. We need to go to church simply to have our faith strengthened, not just because you're hearing a preacher preach, But because you're interacting with others, and as you interact with them, you hear about how God's working in their lives, and you hear about how God answered a prayer in their lives, and you hear about how God did this and God did that, and it strengthens you. And here, you hear someone say to you, I will pray for you. You're not in this alone. I went through this, and God brought me through this. That's the reality of Jesus. Did you understand what I'm saying? His work in our lives, encouraging each other. That's what church is about. It's not for ritual. It's for interaction with each other and growing. Here's the second thing I want you to see here. Choosing to put your trust in the risen Jesus brings you salvation. See, it's you trusting that he is alive. It's you trusting that he's alive, and he's alive in your life right now. He gave you his spirit to make sure that you are never alone, that one day he's coming back for you. That's what the issue is. It's your faith in him. That's why we celebrate. You say, okay, George, where are we going with this? How do we wrap this up on this Easter morning? Okay? Well, here's what I want you to see. It's normal to struggle. It's normal to struggle with your faith. Why do you think the enemy attacks you? Why do you think the enemy is constantly lying to you, accusing you? Because he wants you to be distracted with yourself and with your doubts. He wants you to doubt. Now, you said earlier, doubts are okay. It's what you do with them. Here, it is okay. If you allow your doubts to destroy you, that's not okay. But if you allow your doubts to drive you to the Jesus who cares for you, to help you get through, even if it maybe takes weeks or months for you to understand, that is okay. Because you come out stronger on the other end. You come out trusting in him. See, this is the issue of Easter. You say it's been 2,000 years. Yes, might be another 2,000 years. But he is coming back. But the question is, do you have faith that what he did and said is true, and that he's alive right now with you? That's what we celebrate on Easter. Let me pray for you.